Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, another busy week, lots of things going on. Let's get started with President Biden's time in office. Since he took over, I know you've got a lot of things you want to talk about. I've already noticed prices have gone up, the price of gas has gone up, and that's directly correlated to his shutting down drilling on federal land. The dollar's worth less, so food is going up. What are you seeing?
Yeah, Mitch McConnell actually made comments about that on Newsmax last week, and he talks about the raging inflation that the Biden policies on printing money have caused. The price of steel is up 145%. The price of lumber is up 126%. Wheat up 25%. The food index overall is up 25%. Cotton is up 35%. Silver up 38%. Copper is 50% higher. Soybeans 71%. Oil is up 80%. And all of that means that the consumers are going to pay higher prices at a time when they're struggling to get back to even after the COVID shutdowns. A lot of people in America spent up their savings. And so they're finding this inflation attacking them at the very time when they need every cent that they can earn. I think that Saul Alinuzis writes it up best in the 60-plus communication. He talks about not only those prices, but he talks about the instability in the world. The Russia troops are now massing on the Ukrainian border. The Ukraines are threatening to take back Crimea. China is threatening Taiwan and the other countries in the region. North Korea is testing nuclear weapons again. Iran is emboldened and causing great threats throughout the world. The southern border is a humanitarian disaster. Ford is closing down one of its plants and moving it to Mexico. All of this in response to Joe Biden. And so the question is, for those people who voted for Joe Biden, are you satisfied with the direction things are going? Or are you going to start voting Republican until we get some balance in Washington?
It's almost like there's no parent in the room anymore. There's nobody that these countries would fear that would stop them from being bad actors right now.
That's exactly what Trump was. He caused them to fear, and that's one of the things that's most effective in international politics. They have to fear that you will retaliate. So Iran announced that they're going to kick the UN inspectors out of their nuclear facilities. So under the 2015 nuclear accord that at that point President Obama and several other nations in the world signed with Iran, gave them great latitude, great power, but one of the things that they kind of squeezed out of it was this ability to monitor what they're doing. So when Iran kicks the IAEA out, that's the International Atomic Energy Association, when he kicks them out and says they're not going to get the data from the cameras that are inside these nuclear facilities, now then we have nobody that is holding them accountable. And they don't think that Joe Biden will do anything. It's because he's told them he won't do anything. So to the public, he tries to sell this idea that we're in charge and everybody is really monitoring and they're watching what they're doing because of us. The exact opposite is true, that no one is there to check the absolute power of Russia. Nobody is there to check the absolute power of China or Iran. And so you're going to have this world instability caused by the vacuum in leadership by the Americans. We're the only country with the military personnel. We're the only country with the economic assets in order to create discipline in the world. And when any administration backs off, it was the Obama administration back before Trump. But Obama said, well, we don't want American exceptionalism and we should not be enforcing world discipline. Well, then no one did it. He thought that it would sort of result in all of us being equal around the world. What it did is open a vacuum up, and North Korea, China, Russia, they all kind of rushed into that vacuum, and he wonders what's happening.
It reminds me of Teddy Roosevelt. You must speak softly and carry a big stick. A lot of people said, well, Donald Trump is mean and we need a nicer president. Well, maybe you do need to sometimes not necessarily be mean, but stand up. You can't always be a nice guy. You know what they say about nice guys and how they finish.
That's right. And they can accuse Trump of not being a nice guy, but we were finishing first and everything that he was trying. And now then it looks like we're headed to the bottom. We're headed to the bottom with inflation taking away our purchasing power. We're headed to the bottom with China overtaking our gross domestic product. We're headed to the bottom in our military. They're now focused on something besides the military outcomes and the fact that the military is here to defend the country. And so a lot of things that are really creating problems on the border. We continue to see that humanitarian crisis with tens of thousands of people coming here illegally every day and being released. They're released with no information on them at all, so they never even have to make kind of the idle attempt to show up at a court because we don't even know who they are. We're not testing them for COVID. We're not ensuring that they don't have diseases that they're bringing back into this country. And so all in all, it's a crisis that I think everyone is concerned about on our southern border.
Let's talk about Israel for a moment because that's come up and the president is taking credit for the ceasefire. A lot of people may not realize the Palestinians are putting their weapons and their ammunition in places where children are, like private homes. Then the Israelis bomb them, and the Palestinians can say, see, those evil Israelis are killing women and children. Seems like they're using their own people as kind of a publicity stunt to accuse Israel of killing innocent people.
The Palestinians have a definite objective, and that is the annihilation of Israel. In fact, many of the radical Islamist groups have that same objective in mind. So when I toured Israel several times, we were there on official delegations, and they briefed us and showed us the entrance to some of the tunnels. There are massive tunnels that are very far underground that penetrate under Israel. Weapons, food, and other things are brought in. So the Palestinians are always resupplying. That's what the Israelis were bombing. They had these bunker buster bombs that would penetrate deep into the ground, and they would explode in these tunnels to shut them off. Now then, with Biden's influence, and I'm sure he had great pressure on Israel to stop their bombing, now again, they're pretty defenseless. And that means that they're going to suffer even greater casualties from the terrorists like Hamas and other groups. And so when President Biden says, oh, yeah, great for both sides. It's not great for both sides. It is very bad for Israel, and Israel is our first line of defense in a very unstable piece of the world. And so what's going on there affects us tremendously. And so under President Trump, the most pro-Israel president ever, and he just was routinely targeted by the left for his work on behalf of Israel. And now then Joe Biden is getting kudos from the left for doing things which could very well end even the existence of Israel. Shame on them.
Does it seem like the president's not taking a side? Yes, we're going to stand by Israel, but we're also going to send help for the Palestinians. Is he trying to ride the fence?
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to let the political climate in America look like he's doing things to help Israel. The truth is, if you're stopping Israel from defending itself without us stepping in to stop Hamas, then Israel is going to be greatly disadvantaged. And that's what he's doing. He's just trying to put on a public face where it looks like he's supporting Israel. The truth is that the left does not let him support Israel. He doesn't have the political courage to stand up to the left. In fact, he has adopted almost all of the Marxist principles of the left. And so we will see where it ends up. But I worry for our friends Israel.
Looks like our governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, has got herself in some more hot water. Steve Pierce and I will be talking about that and more after this on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I am talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce. Steve, the governor of New Mexico is having some issues now that have come up. Seems she has paid her daughter to do her hair and makeup. There's nothing wrong with that, except she paid her with campaign funds.
Yeah, with campaign funds, the FEC and the federal laws prohibit you from paying your family members. State law prohibits that, and she's done it with impunity. Her daughter even bragged about it on her Facebook page. We have a screenshot where she's bragging that she's the one in charge of that. Since then, they have pulled it down. When the news story hit, Well, she happened to pull that piece down, but we have the screenshot anyway. But this just is a continuous problem with this governor, that she thinks she's outside the boundaries of the law. That's what they accuse Trump of all the time. Generally, there's a truth in politics. When you're pointing the finger at someone else, you're actually trying to cover up that you're doing almost exactly the same thing. And so she was a part of the chorus that described Trump as unethical and that he was taking personal advantage of his office. Yet she's the one who actually did it. You remember the jewelry when she went downtown, opened that store up. And there are people who said that was not a staffer at all. That was her that went into the store and insisted on getting the opportunity to buy that. Then there was a $57,000 worth of groceries. Remember the steaks that cost $300 a pound while everybody's trying to just afford hamburger. She's out buying these Wagyu steaks and tuna steaks. They're $60 to $80 a pound for tuna steaks. And then the bottles of tequila, I think 5 bottles of tequila just to make it all go down easy. So she's doing that during a time when she's prohibiting people from going to see their parents at Christmas time. And so you just have to shake your head that this governor has no shame. But paying her daughter, that's a legal thing. An ethical complaint has already been filed on that by John Block. He's the one that writes the Pinyon Post. And so we'll see where it goes. But all in all, is just an indicator of why New Mexico is where it is. That's because the people in power are more interested in the power than they are the principle. There is a truth in politics that you will either choose principle or power in politics, and the two can't coexist. So it's not like you can kind of do both. So this governor is obviously choosing power over principle. That's one of the reasons I think that we saw a recent report by the CYFD. So you remember we talked before how they had taken their communications underground on Signal. That's that secure voice communication and text communication. But then they were instructing people to go in and erase all of your texts that relate to business within 10 days. So one of the employees then mentioned that, hey, this is not right. That employee was summarily fired. He brought his complaint up on April 22nd, and then he was fired on May the 6th. His wife was also working in the agency, and she brought up the problems, and she was terminated then in early April also. So Secretary Brad Blalock, he's making defense that, oh, we've got to take care of all the information here. But the truth is that it's against the law for them to delete many of these conversations. So Cliff Gilmore being fired as one of the watchdogs, and then his wife being fired as a watchdog, those begin to violate federal laws. Watchdogs have protection. You want to have people in an agency who will speak up when they see corruption. And so the people saw the corruption, began to speak up, and were fired. The problem with corruption is that it eventually leads to incompetence. And this is an example of how it leads to incompetence. The people who are willing to speak up, they're run out of the place. And eventually, you have people who have no respect for the rules, no respect for the law. And they even quit trying. And so you reach a point to where your incompetence then is as big a problem as the corruption. So that's what's happening in CYFD. It's also happened over in the Labor Department. Secretary of Labor for New Mexico, Bill McCamley, suddenly left the state after the news reports came out that New Mexico had overpaid $250 million in unemployment claims. That figure was later adjusted down. But I want you to listen to the TV news clips on this, because I think they do a good job of explaining exactly what was going on.
So we've had more than 24 hours now to digest and see the ramifications of that state report showing our Department of Workforce Solutions overpaid at least $100 million in unemployment benefits throughout this pandemic. And you know what? We can't get the governor to have a conversation with us about what happened and what's next, but not for lack of trying. Now, to be fair, because that's what we are, the governor's office did give us a very long and detailed statement about this unemployment problem. So it starts off by actually referencing our coverage of the report during last night's Night Beat. Great stuff, by the way. And it goes back to what the Department of Workforce Solutions chief told us. Yes, we overspent on benefits, but not as much as what the state report suggested. There's a bunch of other explanations as to why those numbers aren't matching up. You know what, though? It's late. The statement is very heavy, and we've got a lot to go over, so let's move on. Here's the problem with statements. it's not a two-way conversation. Because we have questions, you have questions that you're hoping we can ask people. That's why we have crews with cameras, and we still have Zoom accounts to do interviews. So the invitation, Governor, is still and always will be on the table. And you know what? Megan Abundis reached out to see if the governor would reconsider our interview offer. So, Megan, where is she on this?
We tried to talk to her today five times, five requests. But I only got as far as her spokespeople. Here's what we asked to talk about. Her response to the hundreds of millions of dollars in unemployment overpayments. Does she believe we can fairly recoup these millions of dollars? What she thought about some of the serious claims of threats and violence raised by the former Workforce Solutions Secretary. And where is she in appointing a new permanent Workforce Solutions Secretary? And what is she looking for in that next person? The only response we've received is not from the governor, but her spokespeople. One statement essentially saying for New Mexicans to bring their concerns and anger, if necessary, to the governor and no one else. We want that access, too, for you. So we asked, if she's not available today, then when? And I didn't get an answer the three times I put it to her staff.
That was from KOB TV Channel 4. In Albuquerque.
And so Bill McCamley left the state, and after leaving the state, he sends back word that he didn't leave because of incompetence. He didn't leave because they made a $150 to $200 million mistake. He left because people were threatening him and his family. I live with threats every day. The people in Congress are threatened, and you saw Gabby Giffords shot. You saw the Republicans fired on and shot, five Republicans shot at the baseball field 3 or 4 years ago. And so Bill McCamley suddenly left New Mexico. He didn't just step down from his position. He left New Mexico. But again, we make the point that corruption breeds incompetence, and the incompetence of overpaying people that much money is something that's harmful to the state. It's harmful to those people who have a legitimate claim for unemployment because now we're out of money. Two friends of mine who run a business, they brought to me problems that give examples of how this overpayment is occurring. For instance, the wife noticed several months ago that she was having to pay for her own unemployment claim. She called in and said, "I'm not unemployed. I didn't file for unemployment." They still haven't corrected the problem. She's still having to pay for it, and she is not receiving the money. It's somebody out there filing using her identity. Well, then just this past weekend, her husband pointed out that somebody is now filing for him. I would guess it's the same person, and the agency is so incompetent that they can't stop it when they know what's going on. And so you simply say that New Mexico is where it is because of the incompetence. It's because of this corruption. They fit together, and this governor is doing nothing about that. In fact, several of her secretaries have worked under her, have shown tremendous incompetency and maybe even the corruption, and she does nothing. They have to choose to leave. So she's totally silent on CYFD. She's totally silent on the whole report about the labor board paying these unemployment claims. And so we have a catastrophe that is unfolding in New Mexico.
Now, let me ask you this, because you ran for governor. Let's say you were governor and you picked somebody to be director of the Labor Department, and for whatever reason, they just didn't do a good job. So let's say you had somebody working for you and this happened where they accidentally released all this money. How would you handle it?
Yeah, I would, first of all, bring in specialists. Usually, I like to work with the person who's there. I think one of the anecdotes that we learned when I was getting my master's in business administration was some guy made a $100 million problem for one of the large corporations, carried a letter for resignation in and handed it to the supervisor and said, "I'm sure you want to fire me, so I'll just go ahead and step down instead." And the guy said, "Why would I fire you? I just spent $100 million educating you." And so there's an element of that that's true. And so if you can use the people in place and correct the deficiencies, then that's what I would do. If it was just sheer oversight, lackadaisical corruption or anything like that, I would run them off. I wouldn't let them just sort of step down and kind of leave the state quietly. We would actually fire them and fire them with cause, give them every opportunity to explain, but then we would find the best person that we could to come in and correct the problems. Many of the agencies worked out of control with almost no management oversight for decades under both Republican and Democrat leadership in the governor's office. And so it's time for a tremendous house cleaning. I think that some of the agencies just need to be shut down and started over again. But we'll see where that goes. But right now, the Grisham administration is looking fairly inept when it comes to fixing the deep-rooted problems of oversight and letting the agencies work fairly without overpaying, without the corruption.
Will my vote count in the election for CD1? That will be our topic when we come back on Inside New Mexico.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce. And Steve, we have an election coming up June 1st, early voting going on now for our representative in Congress for CD1, which is mainly the Albuquerque area, Torrance County, a little bit of Sandoval County, Santa Fe, and Valencia County. I'm concerned that some people may think, well, after what happened in the 2020 presidential election, why should I bother to go vote for, in our case, as Republicans, Mark Moores? The same thing could just happen again. Can the same thing happen again as far as our poll watchers and things like that?
Well, the Republican Party of New Mexico has been very active working with our county clerks here in New Mexico, and especially in this race right now. We don't feel like that the same thing is going to happen. We think that our poll watchers and poll challengers are going to have access the way that they should. We think that we're going to be able to monitor the machines. We should be able to ensure that every vote is going to count. Now, sometimes things play out in very egregious fashion, and we will raise questions if that occurs. But you have to keep in mind that we did elect Yvette Harrell at a time when people felt like the race was stolen from President Trump. And so I'm just telling people that you've got to go vote. If you don't vote, you absolutely guarantee that the left is going to win. And so we're doing all that we can to see that every ballot counts, but it's only counted once. That's all we're looking for in the election. We just want fair and free elections. And so we'll do our best. And the numbers have balanced out. Early on, the Democrats are outvoting Republicans like a 4-to-1 margin. That's now 2-to-1 margin, which is very typical at this stage of the game. Republicans typically vote later. They like to vote on election day. And so we're still confident that we have a very good chance to win this seat. We got our best candidate. They got their worst candidate. She would be a member of the squad if she went to Washington. And so that's not where New Mexico is. It points out something that I'm beginning to hear more and more of, that Hispanics are beginning to believe that they don't have a place in the Democrat Party, that all the attention that's given to BLM, all the attention that's given to Antifa, all the attention that's given to the socialist principles, and all the attention that's given to the right to give abortions on demand up to and including the day of birth, none of those things comply and align with many of the values that our Hispanic voters have, and so they're feeling like that they don't have any room left in the Democrat Party for them. And many are becoming independent. Some are becoming a Republican. But that's what I'm telling our Republican candidates. You must be out visiting with everyone, because you never know who believes that they no longer have a place in the Democrat Party. Many of the 30,000 people who registered as Republicans were claiming that they didn't leave the party, the Democrat Party left them. And so I just encourage everyone to stay focused, get out and do your job. We can win this race. I think that we are going to win this race. And so get out and vote. June 1st is the actual election day, but you can vote early up to, I think, the Saturday before. Then on election day, get out and vote, because it's very critical. The balance of power in the U.S. House is just about 4 or 5 votes different. Imagine this seat flipping from Democrat to Republican. That would be a tremendous shift. Nancy Pelosi would have to work harder to get her progressive agenda passed.
I said this last week, I'll say it again. Just because Democrats were outvoting Republicans 4-to-1 doesn't mean that they were voting for the Democrat candidate. So we have to remember, some of those Democrats are like the ones you talked about, feel like the party left them. They're not really ready to become Republicans, but they can't vote for a far progressive candidate. And then I wanted to ask you, Do we know if our poll watchers will be allowed to get closer than 6 feet to be able to verify signatures now that the coronavirus is calming down?
All the county clerks that we're visiting with right now indicate they understand the rules and the rules will be allowed to play out. That was the problem last time, is that the rules allowed us to be closer. Those county clerks in some of the counties just kicked us out or moved us back away from it. That was totally in violation of the law. So we've had long discussions with the Secretary of State and with many of the county clerks, and especially the ones in this ongoing race. We will continue to push for election security, for ballot security. We think it's the most important issue that's facing this country right now. The Santa Fe New Mexican had a very important article this last week written by Tom Wright. I know him. He's a Republican in Santa Fe. But he was pointing out that the census shows that New Mexico only grew 2.8% over the last 10 years. The national average was 7.4%. And he is making the point that either change leadership in New Mexico, that means change from Democrat to Republican, or you're going to face the same consequences. That there's a couple of websites. The Adelante Now Foundation is doing a lot of work and exploring why people are leaving New Mexico. But also there's a website called nmjobkillers.com. That stands for New Mexico Jobkillers.com. And they're exploring exactly why, calling people who've left the state and asking them. By far, the most are leaving the state because they're looking for work. But then also you have a lot of people leaving the state so they can put their kids into schools and have them attend classes in person. So right now, New Mexico is on the wrong track. The Census Bureau shows it. Democrats have owned the state for 90 years. Change leadership or get the same results.
Thank you, Steve. And if you've been listening to us for the last 26 minutes and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, check out the website at www.gopnm.org. There's a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you would like to talk to somebody in person, you can call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again right here next week on Inside New Mexico.